Welcome to month four, week four. This is our last session in the School of the Holy Spirit. And I want to start just by saying thank you to you. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to share with you some of the most beautiful things that I have found in my spiritual life as a Christian. Thank you that we've been able to come to know in the School of the Holy Spirit. We've come to personally know the Holy Spirit. We've come to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've learned about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we've learned how to live a life in the presence and the power of the Spirit. We've learned how to live a life in the Spirit. And I just want to say this. This is just the beginning. Honestly, this is an introduction. Boy, like take for example, the spiritual gifts. I didn't even really touch much on the spiritual gifts. So I want to encourage you to have a hunger that has just started that's going to go deeper. God wants to take you deeper. Pope John Paul II, we've quoted this in the last few weeks, spoke to the charismatic renewal, and he said this, "I hope that the spirituality of Pentecost will spread in the church as a renewed incentive to prayer, holiness, communion, and proclamation." And we've looked at prayer, our daily communion with God. Holiness is the rejection of sin. We've looked at our communion, which is gathering together with other believers in prayer meetings. And now we're going to talk about proclamation, leading others to Christ. You know, the charismatic renewal, if it's known for anything, is yes, it's for the praising Jesus. Yes, it's for the moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like tongues and healings. But you know what it's also known for? Leading other people to Jesus Christ. Evangelization. And that's what I want to talk about in this talk. I want to take a look at evangelization. Our focus verse is Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Again, that's Matthew 28:19. Now, other words for evangelization are witnessing, sharing your testimony, and as John Paul II calls it, proclamation. In this session, we're going to focus on souls, souls, souls. We need to be hungry for souls, and we need to be willing to lead the next soul we meet to Jesus Christ. Now, there are four things that should motivate us to evangelize, to witness, to share our testimony, to proclaim Jesus. Four things. Number one, that we have found what everybody's looking for, Jesus. Number two, that there's no other way by which anybody could be saved but Jesus. Number three, we're commanded to be to go forth. And number four, we're made ambassadors for Christ. So let's take look at these four reasons. Number one, why do we need to be evangelizing? Because we found what everybody's looking for. That's the first reason. Do you believe that in finding Christ you have found what every soul you will ever meet is looking for? Jesus Christ is the most important encounter that anyone can ever have. Do you believe that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the most important encounter that anyone could ever have. And Jesus, I really believe this, Jesus is what every soul I will meet ever needs. Jesus is what every soul you will ever meet is longing for, looking for. And in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, the Word of God proclaims, and this is a prophecy about Jesus, and it says, "I will move all nations, and the desired of all nations shall come." Jesus is the desired of all nations. Jesus is the desire of every human heart. I truly believe this, and I hope you really get down this first reason for why we want to invite people to Jesus Christ. He is the desire of their heart, and they just don't know it. So they fill their life with other relationships, good or bad, and they think those relationships will fulfill them, and they won't. They fill their lives with possessions, money, prestige, drugs, and alcohol, but it just doesn't fill it. Because you see, it's said that in every human heart, that there's a hole that must be filled, and that hole can only be filled by God. You know what that hole's called? It's called the God hole. And you have been blessed to have that gaping hole in your life filled by Jesus Christ. Isn't that? Thank you, Jesus, that we know him. So, if that's the case, if we have what every soul is longing for, how could we not share Jesus with others? Souls, souls, souls. The second reason that we need to share Jesus with others is that there's no other way by which someone could be saved but Jesus. Now, I know that sounds bombastic, but it is what the Word of God proclaims. It says in Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Buddha can't save you, Muhammad can't save you, Joseph Smith can't save you, and even your own name can't save you. It's only Jesus. Now, am I saying that Buddhists don't go to heaven? No, I did not say that. But if they do, they go by Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. That is a bombastic statement, but it is the truth if you're a Christian. So what's the second reason we need to share Jesus? Because Jesus is the only way of salvation. And salvation is the fulfillment of every human heart. We all know that something is missing, not complete in our lives. And Jesus is the only one that brings this completeness. And bringing completeness is another word for salvation. In coming to know Jesus, you have found completeness. You've found what every person you will ever meet is looking for. And there's no other way for them to come to completeness but Jesus. Now, does that mean that we go around judging everyone that doesn't know Christ and we condemn them and say, "You're going to hell"? No, that we don't go around judging people. You know, there's only one just judge, and that's Jesus. And in John 5:22, it declares, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to Jesus." So we can't judge people. See, our faith is not about condemnation, going out and condemning people and telling them that they're going to go to hell. What our faith is about invitation is, come find, come and see what you've been looking for. What everything in your heart is longing for, it's Jesus Christ. We're simply called to invite people to give their lives to Christ. Souls, souls, souls. The third reason that we need to go evangelize is this, because Christ has commanded us to do it, hasn't he? We read in Matthew 28:19, the focus scripture, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." How can we do it? Because Jesus is with us. And because Jesus is with us, we have to go. He's looking for the next soul to save. He's commanded us. When he says, "Therefore go," that's actually, in Greek, that's a commandment. You know, when you think about the Ten Commandments, this is a commandment of Jesus Christ to evangelize. It's not something nice that we do or certain people do. It's something that we're all called and commanded to do as a disciple. Here's the fourth reason why we're called to go evangelize, witness, to share our testimony. Is we have been made ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, it says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What's the fourth reason we have to do this? Because Christ, we're Christ's ambassadors, and God is through us appealing to people. Be reconciled to Christ. Now, if you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? I'd really like to know that. You know those people in your life that you don't want to talk to about Jesus? If you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? And, you know, have you ever thought maybe that's why you live in the neighborhood you live in? Maybe that's why you work at the place you work. Because God put you there for souls, souls, souls. Now, I will admit that when many believers hear the word that to evangelize, fear comes to their imagination. Maybe that's you. I don't know. They think, I don't want to turn people off. I don't want people to think I'm a religious fanatic. They think, say, I could never do this. I wouldn't know what to say. They say, I sin. And they see me sin. They will think that I'm a hypocrite. Well, I'm going to give you a response to each of these. Number one, first of all, you need to think about souls, souls, souls. And who do you think wants you to be afraid of talking to people about Jesus? Seriously, is it the Holy Spirit or the evil spirit? If you're afraid to talk to people about Jesus Christ, who do you think is pushing that fear button in you? Is it the Holy Spirit or the evil spirit? Don't let the evil spirit get away with this. It's the evil spirit. And yes, in the beginning, you're going to be afraid. I'm just going to admit it. Because it's going to crucify your flesh. You know, but we can't walk by our flesh. We have to walk by the Spirit of God. So that's the first thing. It's listen, if you're afraid to do this, don't let the fear be the motivation not to do it. Because where's the fear come from? Hell. Okay. Some people say, I don't want to turn people off. You know what my response to that is? You can't turn off what's never been turned on. If they've never been turned on to Jesus Christ, they're already turned off. So all you can do is turn them on. So don't worry about it. Okay, I don't want people to think I'm a religious fanatic. Well, have you ever thought about that word fanatic? The word fanatic has a word in it, and it's called the word fan. Why is it that it's okay to be a sports fan and not a Jesus fan? I mean, my goodness, you know, you go to a football game or you watch a football game on TV and some great big fat guy has the colors of his team painted on him. It's winter time. He doesn't have a shirt on and his whole body's painted in the colors of the team. And everybody laughs and they applaud him when the camera comes on. Tell me, is that guy not a fanatic? And everybody cheers him on. But no, don't do that Jesus stuff. You're getting carried away. But it's okay to get carried away with sports. But not get carried away about the most important thing, which is your eternal life. Again, I wonder who's inspiring you not to get carried away. Okay, another thing people say is, I can never do this. I don't know what to say. Well, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would be our power to evangelize, witness, and share our testimony. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So you'll receive power to do what? To evangelize. The Holy Spirit has come on you in your baptism, your confirmation, and now renewed through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you'll go evangelize. Pentecost. Pentecost has happened to you so that, yes, you'll experience the presence and power of God, but did he get you out of your upper room where you're all safe and get you out into the streets? And, you know, so Jesus is going to give you the power, but look at this in Matthew 10, 19 through 20. Matthew 10, 19 through 20 says this. Listen to this. It says, Lord Jesus says, do not worry what to say and how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You say, I can never do this. I don't know what to say. Well, good. I'm glad you don't know what to say. Let the Holy Spirit say it. And you listen, you don't need to be polished and professional. You just need to be you. And let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Other thing people say is, you know, I sin. And they see me sin. And they'll think that I'm a hypocrite. What? Wow. So you're a sinner? If you're saying this, I shouldn't do this because I'm a sinner, and they'll say, you can't talk to us about that because you're a sinner and you're a hypocrite. So you're admitting you're a sinner? You should have told me about this before you let me speak to you through this series. I'm really surprised that you're a sinner. Oh my gosh, I would have never expected it. You know what? Being someone who falls to sin is exactly what it qualifies you to witness for Jesus. Because you're someone like they are that needs a Savior. If you tell them that you don't sin, then you don't need a Savior and you're a hypocrite. A hypocrite says, do as I say and not as I do. You know what your witnessing is saying? I fall to sin and I have found a Savior. Do you ever fall to sin? Can I help you find a Savior? So you don't have to be perfect to do this. You're the perfect candidate if you fall to sin. Okay, now let's talk about evangelizing, witnessing, and sharing your testimony. It's this simple. What you love, you talk about. Here's my big evangelization principle. You ready for it? What you love, you talk about. For example, if you love someone, you will tell another person about them, won't you? When you love somebody, you know, for example, if you fall in love with someone and you're going to get married and you have a friend, you just talk to them about it. You don't even think about it. It just flows off your lips. Or your mate, let's say you have children and somebody asks you about your children. That just flows off your lips, doesn't it? You don't need a method to do this. What you love, you talk about. And I want to encourage you that that's the most important principle. Well, no, the most important principle is that you've been given power and the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words. The second most important thing is just talk about what you love about the Lord. Don't try to get all theological and impress people. Just share from your life and what you have found in Jesus. For example, when someone asks you about your family, do you think, I don't know what to say. What if I goof up? What if I don't know how to answer their questions about my family? If I don't say the right thing about my family, maybe they won't like my family. Do you think about that? No, it just flows from your heart because you naturally talk about what you love. If we love Jesus, we will tell others. If we believe that Jesus has made available everything that they've ever wanted and he's the only Savior, how could we not share him with others? Now, there's three legs to witnessing, to evangelizing, to sharing your testimony. Just like a stool has three legs. And without those three legs, it's going to fall over, right? You need three legs. Okay, let's say you're going to witness to somebody, share with them. Well, first of all, let me give you the steps. There's the before witnessing, the time of witnessing, and after the witnessing. Before witnessing is you need to be a person of prayer and in the Word. You need to be in the Word of God to train yourself to hear from God. This training will equip you to hear so that when you're with that person you want to evangelize, you'll love and respect them and you'll not see them as a project. And you'll hear the Holy Spirit sees them as an individual soul and you'll know exactly what to say to them. You will. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So right there, I want to say, in the time of witnessing, I'm going to jump ahead here, is we all always should witness with gentleness and respect. We don't need to get into arguments, okay? Avoid the arguments. We're going to just be the most gentle, loving person and the most respectful person that this person has ever encountered. You don't have to defend God. God's a big boy. He can take care of himself. And sometimes we come off with this self-righteousness that doesn't lead people to Christ. It actually leads them away from Christ. Now, at the time of witnessing, we're in tune with the Holy Spirit because of our prayer. And we're going to come first with love. And the Spirit's going to love through us, and he's going to speak through us. And then after the witnessing, we need to be praying for the person that we've just shared our testimony with. And if they've given their life to Christ, we also need to disciple them. Okay. There's going to be, on your sheet, there's three seeds that destroy the word once it's sown. And I want you to go to your worksheet to look at those three seeds. So when you pray, you've got to protect that word of God that's given them. And these three seeds, the seed of the word can be destroyed by three things. That's what I want to say. So we need to be there for these people in prayer and also keep walking with them in discipleship. Now, lastly, the core message of evangelization is Jesus Christ. And there's four things. Who is Jesus? What our need as humans is, what Jesus has done, and how one can have what Jesus offers. Who Jesus is, what humans need, what Jesus has done, and how one can have what Jesus offers. These are the four things, the four points. So I want to encourage you. I'm not going to give you a method. Everybody wants me to teach them a method. But listen, you speak about that which you love. I'm not going to give you a method. I want to encourage you in your own life to sit down and ask this question. Who is Jesus to you? And to find the scriptures that you can turn to say, this is who he is. This is your work to do, not my work to do. It's got to come from you and from your life. Who is Jesus to you? What needs does he meet for humanity that you can share with people? You have to answer that question. And what has Jesus done for us? And then lastly, how can you have what Jesus offers? Those four things are on your worksheet. I want you to struggle with them. I'm not going to give you the answer. You have to go before the Lord. And you have to ask him these questions yourself. You have to look at your life and let these questions sieve through your life. Thank you again for giving me this opportunity to be with you. I pray that we'll meet someday. I want to invite you to go to my website. And on my website, there's so many other things. And can I end also by saying to you, if there's any way you can share them with my family, you've received this teaching for free. And I will always give it away for free. But I am supported by the goodness of God through his good people. So if there's any way you can share a financial gift with my family, then go to the website and there you can give through PayPal or my address is there. And you go to brendancase.com, BrendanCase.com. God bless you that you've opened your heart to receive more of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, you know what? I'll end with this. Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, was once asked a question by a reporter. I think I shared this way in the beginning. He was once asked the question, Holy Father, when you pray, what do you ask of God? And he said, for more of the Holy Spirit. Church, may you never be satisfied. May you always want more of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.